Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Before we look at our Bible study this morning, I'd like to tell you about our upcoming gospel meeting to be held at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ by Brent Paschal of Roanoke, Virginia. The series of lessons will be September the 11th through the 14th. That's a Thursday evening through Sunday, September the 11th through the 14th. The theme is Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. All of the lessons will involve a study of Jesus Christ. Thursday evening, God the Son. Friday evening, the Messenger of the Lord. Saturday evening, the ultimate Christ. Sunday, three lessons, Jesus' human mission, Jesus' mission for us, and our future with Jesus. We'd love to have you come for a special series of lessons about the great Jesus Christ and what we can learn about him and how we can have a right relationship with him. Please come September the 11th through the 14th. If you need more information, please call 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ meets at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can also see information about the church at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning for the program. I appreciate you studying, and we're going to answer the question this morning: are you facing reality? Are you facing reality? We need to live in a realistic world, not in a dream world. And we need to face the facts of various things in our life so that we can be right with God. You know, somebody says, well, what is reality? Reality is truth based upon facts and evidence. I like the story of Nehemiah coming to help the Jews rebuild Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And he shows up in Nehemiah chapter 2. And one of the first things that he does is he gets on a horse and or a beast of burden, some sort, and rides about looking at Jerusalem. He wants to survey what is going on there. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 12, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God put into my heart to do for Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the valley gate, and even toward the jackal's well, and to the dung gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the evil case that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no more be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also of the king's words that had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." I want you to notice a few things here. First of all, Nehemiah viewed the matter personally. He went out and rode around and saw the situation for himself. Reality is based upon evidence, viewing what is actually going on. Not made up, not what I think, not what I feel, not what I'm surmising, but based upon what I see with my own eyes. And what he saw was that Jerusalem was in a bad situation. He had heard about it back in chapter 1. He had heard that Jerusalem was in a bad situation, But here he came and saw it for himself. I want to test the reality of the matter. So it's based upon facts and evidence. The second thing that is interesting about this is that when he came to talk to the people, he described the reality in real terms. He says, "You see the evil case that we are in." He didn't try to spin it. He didn't try to use different language. He didn't try to say that it was better than it really was. He said, "We are in an evil case. The place is torn down. The place is burnt. And we need to fix it. Look at the evil case that we are in." So he didn't try to make it sound better than it really was. He presented them with the reality of the evidence. And then the third thing I'd like for you to notice is that when the people heard what he said, they said, "Let us rise up and build." Fortunately, there were people in town, unlike today, there were people in town who were willing just to simply accept the facts and evidence of the reality of the situation. They were not turned off by facts. They were not turned off by real language, the evil case that we are in. They just accepted all that and said, "Okay, fine, let's rise up and build." We need that today. So many people today, as we're going to see in a minute, they don't want to accept reality. Don't talk to me of reality. I want to get up each day and live in my little dream world. And tell me what's going on, even though it's not real. Tell me what's going on so that I can feel good about everything in life. These people were not like that. So the Jeremiah and the other men and leaders and even families get involved. They rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They had a mind to work, and it started with reality. Friends, we need reality checks from time to time. We need reality checks. I think of a reality check of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 when he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees and called them hypocrites over and over again and pointed out the various hypocritical actions that they were engaged in one after another. Wow, what a reality check. They went through life thinking, "Well, we're fine and we're okay." And they had this smug attitude that you can't teach us anything, Jesus. And we're right with God. And we've got the temple and we've got the law and we've got our long flowing gowns and we've got our phylacteries on our forehead and on our hands. And you know, we're called rabbi and father and everybody likes us and look at all the good deeds that we're doing. But inwardly, they had sin going on in their lives. And Jesus gave them one big sermon that was a reality check. I think of another reality check would be John in the seven churches of Asia, where Jesus, through John, comes to those churches. And two of them are commended only. There's no condemnation, but the other five have some sort of condemnation going on in their lives. And I just finished a series on the seven churches of Asia. You can hear that on our church website. We'd love for you to visit that and look at the 2025 sermons that are there. And when they needed to be commended, that was good, but when they needed to be condemned, they were as well. That was a big reality check for them because they're thinking, "We're fine. We're okay. We're engaged in our daily and weekly activities in this church." And Jesus comes and says, "No, I'm condemning you." For example, Ephesus, you've lost your first love, for example. A big reality check, and you need to repent. So reality checks are good from time to time. And so are you and I facing reality? The Bible, the New Testament in particular, is one big reality check. We need to be reading it and studying it and obeying it and applying it in our lives. God tells us exactly who we are and what we are. Like James chapter 1 describes the New Testament as a mirror. And when you look into a mirror, a physical mirror, and you look at your physical body, you get a reality check as to the way you really look. It doesn't lie. The mirror doesn't lie. It's showing you who you really are. And James chapter 1, the New Testament, the perfect law of liberty is described as a mirror, looking into a mirror, and we get a reality check. But unfortunately today, so many people want to live in a fantasy world. Many people live in a world of fantasy and imagination. And I don't have a problem with, for example, sci-fi books or sci-fi movies where you go watch a movie and it's not based on reality. It's based upon fictional sci-fi characters, you know, Superman and other characters like that. There's nothing wrong with briefly having a period of entertainment or literature. I don't believe that that's a problem. I don't believe that that's wrong. As long as when we step out of the theater or when we put the book down, we get back into living in the reality world. But many want to escape reality, and they're not willing to face the realities and the responsibilities of life. Some try to escape that with alcohol. Some try to escape that with drugs. Some people try to escape that by not admitting responsibility or accountability. And the fact is, the facts don't change. The evidence is still there, whether you accept it or not. I find it interesting today, the things that people say and do in order to try to not face reality. One tactic is that people will say things over and over again. They will repeat it over and over again. And the more you say it, the more people think, well, that's what makes it so. But you can say stuff over and over again, but that doesn't make it so. I can say the earth is flat like a pancake over and over and over and over again, but that doesn't make it so. We know the earth is not flat. The earth, even Isaiah said, that the Lord sits above the circle of the earth. I'm not talking about a perfect circle, but the earth is spherical in nature. It's circular in shape, a globe. It's not flat. And we knew that before we went out into space. And when we saw those space shots from the moon looking back to the earth, there's no denying the earth is not flat. And I'm told that there are still flat earthers. There are people that still think the earth is flat like a pancake. I could say it over and over again and repeat it over and over again, but that doesn't make it so. A second tactic that people use is they bully people. They bully others who don't agree with them, and so they bully them into non-reality. Another tactic that is used today is that people avoid all truth. They avoid facts. They avoid science. They avoid evidence. They avoid biology. Another tactic that people use is they try to redefine the language that is being used. Another tactic that is used is people will appeal to fake news or information that is not based upon facts or reality in order to sell their false narrative. Another tactic that is used is that people will then go on to make policies. So you'll have local laws or state laws or federal laws to try to enforce something that is non-real, a non-reality. And then, to make matters worse, the last tactic is they will penalize all who do not conform. So, notice the list of those tactics again, and notice the process of that again. I'm going to repeat it. Notice, and you'll see that same thing going on in our society. You see it with regard to the so-called transgender, where a male, and now we have to say biological male. Years ago, you didn't have to say that. Everybody knew that a male was a male. But now you have to say biological male. But a biological male is now saying that he's a woman. That doesn't make it so. You can say it all day long, but it doesn't change. The same thing with a woman, a biological female saying that she's a man. It doesn't make it so. So look at the tactics again and notice the process. saying it over and over again. Number two, then bullying the one who doesn't agree. Number three, avoiding all truth and facts. I don't want to hear anything that's different from the narrative. Number four, redefining the language that is used. So now a male can be a female and a female can be a male. We change words and definitions of words and we confuse. Then use fake news to sell your falsity. Then make policies, get legislators, local city council, state legislator, House of Representatives and senators to make policies in order to force this non-reality, and then penalize all who do not conform. That's going on in the so-called transgender debate, and it goes on in other areas of life as well. We've got to face reality. Friends, a flat earth is a non-reality. It's a non-reality. And so-called trans non-binary is a non-reality. So we've got to face reality. Are you facing reality? Am I facing reality? You know, both in the Old and New Testament, there were God's people who had gotten caught up with the things of the world, and one of the biggest things that they engaged in was idolatry, the worship of false gods. The problem was, there's many problems with it. It led to sinful lifestyles and so forth. But the problem was, it was all based upon a non-reality. There are no other gods. It's just an entire system, belief and practices based upon a non-reality. Isaiah 41:29, behold, all of them, these idols, their works are vanity and nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. It's nothing. And when you try to base a life on something that is not reality, it just leads to confusion and problems in your life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 5, we know, speaking of these false gods, we know that there is only one true God. And it's a great reminder. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, concerning things, the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that no idol is anything in the world, and there is no God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven and on earth, as there are gods many and lords many, yet to us there is one God. We know that they are nothing in the world. It's a non-reality. And we don't need to be basing our life on that. It just does not exist. We've been studying in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is talking about coming Babylonian captivity. He's preaching the truth to a sinful Judah who won't change, and so Babylonian captivity is coming. The problem was false preachers and false prophets and false teachers, they were saying peace, peace, when there was no peace. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13, and God describes that false peace as, from the least of them even unto the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophets even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're saying something that's not real. It's not based on reality. Judgment is coming, not peace. And so you can stand up and say stuff all day long. You can be popular. You can be supported by the masses. You can be applauded. But it's not true. And Babylonian captivity came, and Jeremiah was exonerated, and these false prophets were shown to be false. The problem is, people listen to this kind of thing. And people were following the false prophets rather than turning their lives around and repenting and coming to God. So let me just talk about some realities this morning on the program. First of all, life is a reality. You exist. I exist. If you're not sure about that, poke yourself. You're real. The old statement, I think, therefore I am. Life is a reality. And Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 that the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. We have one life to live, and it's real. It's not a fantasy. And we would do well to be fearing God and keeping his commandments, because there's a coming judgment day. Here's another reality. Death. Death, it's universal. It is appointed unto man once to die. Then cometh the judgment. Death is for all. In the same book, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, death is for all mankind. We've got to face that reality. And are we ready to die and face God? That's the reality of the matter. And that's why we need to obey the gospel now. If I can sit down with you and study and learn how to become a Christian and live as a Christian, let's do that. Because once we die, that's it. There's no second chance. There's no coming back. There's no do-over. And we've got to be ready to face the Almighty God. Death is a reality. We can't just wish it away. We can't think it away. We can't ignore it. It's real. Here's another reality of life that maybe we're not thinking about, and that is cause and effect. Every actions have consequences. Ideas have consequences. Actions have consequences. We reap what we sow. Cause and effect. That's a reality. It's a reality in the natural world with the law of gravity, for example. If you fall off a ladder or if you fall off a building, you're going to go down and you're going to hit the ground. That's cause and effect. That's due to the law of gravity. And there are spiritual laws that have been put in place, just like physical laws. They all come from the same lawgiver, by the way. Natural law and spiritual law, or moral law. Cause and effect. Okay? So you reap what you sow. And if we're sowing to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption and eternal destruction. If we are sowing to the spirit, we're going to reap eternal life. So cause and effect is a natural and spiritual reality. It is a law that cannot be broken. So your words, your actions, your thoughts, they have consequences. And the Lord is going to hold us accountable for those things. Here's another reality. God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says that every house is built by someone. That's a reality. And he who built all things is God. We have a designed universe that demands a designer. It demands an intelligent design. The universe was not thrown together haphazardly by billions of years of random evolution. It was put together intricately and designed intricately by a grand architect, God. Jesus Christ is another reality. He's a historical figure that cannot be denied. Not only does the New Testament speak of him, not only did the Old Testament prophesy of his coming and the New Testament speak in detail about his life, and in our upcoming gospel meeting we're going to talk about him more, but even outside the Bible, Roman and Jewish historians spoke of the historical figure of Jesus Christ. He's a reality. We need to face him. And John writes in John 20, 30 and 31 that in his particular book, the Gospel of John, he wrote about the many signs and miracles that Jesus did so that we can believe that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to do something with him. We can't just ignore him. We can't slough him off as, well, he didn't exist, or if he did, he was just a religious figure. No, he's more than that. That's a reality. Here's another reality that we need to face, and that is the Bible. The Bible, it's with us. It's the most sold book in the world. And 2 Timothy 3:16, it's the inspired word of God. We can't just say, well, the Bible's not real and it doesn't exist. It is. And it came from the very words of God. And we need to deal with it. You can not open it, but it's still reality. You cannot read it. You can keep from hearing it. You can never open it. That's your choice. But it's the message in it is still real, and it's going to judge you. Jesus said, the words that I spake shall judge you in the last day. Revelation 20, 11 and following, the books are open. Part of those books are the books of the Word of God contained in Scripture, and they are going to judge us in the last day. We would do well to open up that message now. It's a reality. It's a reality. Sin, the violation of God's word. 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4. Sin is a transgression of God's law. That's a reality. When we lie, when we steal, when we commit adultery, when we get drunk, other kinds of things, we violate the word of God, and it's sin. It's a reality. You can say, I don't want to talk about it. You can say, I don't have it in my life. You can say a lot of things, but it's there. It's there. And God is going to hold us accountable for that. We need those sins washed away in the blood of Christ. Which brings me to my next point. Here's another reality, and that is we have a gospel plan of salvation. We have a way to be saved from that sin. And when Jesus sent the apostles into all the earth, Mark 16:15-16, to preach that gospel to all creation, that gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. And what a great thing that is, that through God's grace and mercy, He has chosen to give us a way out of sin. He sent His Son to die on the cross, a way out of this sin. And we've got to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. He gives us a way out, and we need to take hold of that. Why? Because there's a coming judgment day. That's one last reality that I'd like to talk about. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Acts 17:30-31. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world. That is a reality. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:12. All will be gathered in the judgment day, Revelation 20:11-15. All nations will stand before Christ, Matthew 25:30 and following. That is a reality. Friends, don't reject reality. Don't put our head in the sand and act indifferent and ignore it. But if we need to repent and accept reality completely, if that means obeying the gospel for the first time, if it means coming back to Christ, if it means continuing to live faithfully each day, let's live facing reality. That is the only true life to live. If we can help you do that, let's get together and study the Word of God. Thank you for being with us. And I hope that you'll have a good day.